And start. Hashem loves. Hashem has a love for mishpat, and we discussed this yesterday. According to Rashi, the mitzvah says that Hashem has a love when he exercises, when he rewards, when he's goymel chesed, when he gives a person what they deserve. V'lo yazoiv eschasidav le'olam eschasidav. Hashem does not abandon his pious ones. Le'olam nishmaru, they are guarded forever. This about mitzat sheni. This we do over again. We keep on contrasting the two together. But mitzat sheni v'zera risham nichras, the seed of the wicked is cut off. Hashem loves the tzaddikim and they are guarded forever. But the zera of the wicked are cut off. Pasuk haftes tzaddikim yirshu oretz, the righteous will inherit the land. The yishkenu la'ad olech, and they will dwell forever upon it. Pasuk yud abalam lamit. Pi tzadik yege chochma u'lishonoi tedaber mishpo. We spent a lot of time yesterday. Is it two separate statements? Is it one statement? According to Rashi, it's one statement that the wise man, the tzadik, he meditates. He meditates within his heart wisdom to analyze the issue. And when he reaches a conclusion, he then says the result. In other words, think before you speak. First, analyze what the situation, meditate. Don't rush to a conclusion. Think before you speak. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Torah Elokav B'Livoi, Loi Simad Ashurav, the law of Hashem is in his heart. He will not falter his footsteps. Ashurav means his footsteps will not falter. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Sefer Rasha LaTzadik, Mabakesh Lamiso, the Rasha is always lying in wait, in ambush, waiting, looks with envy upon the tzaddik, and wants to destroy him. Hashem lo yazenu biyodo, Hashem will not abandon him in his hands. V'lo yarshienu biyishavto, will not allow the Rasha to declare the tzaddik guilty. All right, so we did the mitzvahs, we did Rashi. Let's maybe, there's a bit of an echo here. It's driving me crazy. Now there is a let's see over here the Likutei Shas. Toiras Hashem Belibai on page 338. The Toiras Hashem is in his heart. Maisa Umbeis Banav Shal Rabbi Akiva Nichnasu. Over here we have a terrible story. The children Shal Rabbi Akiva. How often do you have this? Where do we ever have this? Is everyone aware of this? That Rabbi Akiva lost children? Who called him? I'm not familiar. Call chutz min akireh hazeh. All of the Jews, everyone is before me. Keklipas Hashum. Who said that? One of the, I don't remember who said that. Except for the kireh, this baldy. But that wasn't his son. That was someone else. Okay, whatever it is. We know that Rabbi Yochanan had 10 children. And he buried all of his children. And he would walk around holding the bone, a bone of his youngest son, and would go and be Menachem Ovel, other people who suffer tragedy. I heard on Tisha B'Av from somebody, it was very powerful, he said, I think, is that Rabbi Yochanan, he lost 10 children. I mean, anyone will guard their mind, will lose their mind over that. And yet, he not only did he not lose his mind, he had such a moon, incredible moon, he was able to give nechama to other people. Yet when his chavrusa, Reish Lakish died, he lost his mind. When Reish Lakish died, so Rabbi Yochanan basically he lost his mind, and they tried to be mefayesim, and they gave him chavrusas. The Gemara says they gave him a chavrusa, and he was learning with this new chavrusa, and everything that he said, the chavrusa said excellent, brilliant. So he said to the chavrusa, you know, when I learned Reish Lakish, everything that I said, he told me, I'm crazy. Everything he said, he says, he shlugged me up. He fought with me. He proved me wrong. And you, everything that I say is good. This is not what I want. I don't want a person. And the Gemara says that he lost his mind. And they add to this. Add to the kach, this is very important halacha, is they deal. They will misspell it. He should die. Okay, that's a very big topic in Allah. Is it proper, is it permitted to be misspelled that a person should die? It's one thing when a person, you know, people are ill, they are misspelled, they should live. But when you see people who are suffering, who are suffering, is there such a thing to be mispalad, the suffering should come to an end by actually praying to Hashem that the person should die? And it seems from the Gemara that one of the primary sources for this topic of discussion is Rabbi Yochanan, that he was in enormous mental anguish after the death of his chavrusa, his brother-in-law, Reish Lakish, and Chazal said they were mispalad that his life should come to an end because the agony that he had was too great. But so the speaker, I don't remember who it was, says, how could that be? But Rabbi Yochanan was the person who lost 10 children, something which any normal person would lose their mind. But he was a Baal Maimon, he didn't lose his mind. And in fact, he took the bone of his youngest child and he went to be Menachem Avil, to be Mechazik people. But yet when his Chavrusa died, who was not a blood relative, wasn't a child, that he couldn't deal with. It's an incredible insight into who he was. Is that the learning that he, you know, what he accomplished with Reish Lakish had more of an impact upon him than his legacy, his nitzchias, his doyres, his children. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Everything, whatever one said, the other said just the opposite. Whatever one said, they didn't agree on. They didn't agree like the Rambam and the Ravid. Okay, there are certain people that come from different sides, different. They're quarried from different places, and they don't see eye to eye. Okay, over here the Gemara tells you a ma'isa, a very frightening ma'isa. Ma'isa benof shlo Rabbi Akiva nichnasu kol yishol v'hisbidum hesped gadol. They eulogized the children of Rabbi Akiva. The Gedolei Yisrael had very difficult lives. B'shas petiros and shel ha'malvim. When the people who came to Menachem Avil left Rabbi Akiva, Amad Rabbi Akiva la'safsol gadol, he stood up on a very large bench. The Amad, he said, Acheinu beis Yisrael Shimu, listen to me. Afilu shnei bonim chassonim gam kein munachim hu even. Afilu shnei bonim chassonim gam kein minucham hu b'shvil kavod shasisem. My children, I'm not sure what this means, minucham hu, they also are comforted because of the honor that you've given. No, what you're saying over here is that you've given, I'm not exactly sure what this means, but it means that I thank you for giving me kavod, for coming to me, menachem me. The im b'shvil Akiva b'osem, harei kama Akiva b'shuk, elo kach amartem, toiras elokav b'liboy, the Torah of Hashem is in his heart, the kol shekein sheschartem kofel, your reward is doubled, l'chu livoteichem l'sholem, go to your home in peace. So what was he saying to them over here? He was saying that what was the purpose of you coming to give to be menachemi? What was the purpose? Afilu shnei bonim. Wait, I'm sorry about all these technical issues. This is just gonna keep some sliding. All right, sorry about that. What does this mean over here? I don't know what this means over here. Rabbi Akiva, he said to them, B'shas petirasan shel ha'malvim. Rabbi Akiva, he sat on the bench, and he said, listen to me. Afilu shnei bonim chasonim minucham hu b'shvil kavod shasisim. Everyone here in this room has received comfort because of what you have done. But the im b'shvil Akiva b'osem, if you came for me, There are many people like me in the shuk. Elakach amartem, this is what you have said. Toiras elokav beliboy v'kol shekein. I'm not sure what this means. I really don't know what this means over here. And he's coming to dash this from this pasuk. This pasuk over here says, Toiras elokav beliboy. I really don't know. Maybe we'll see the mefarshim. We'll explain why. I don't know. Let's see the next time. Chazal. Next pasuk lamed beis sefer rosh latzadik mevakesh lamisa amra bishrim ben lakish yitzro yishlo odem miskaber olav v'chol yom mevakesh lamisa shenemar. This is a chazal which I think we're more familiar with, that the yitzhar of a person every single day gets stronger and stronger and wants to kill him. Shenemar sefer rosh latzadik mevakesh lamisa. According to this man chazal, the word rosh, who is the rosh in this pasuk? Remember yesterday, 2 days ago, we learned about the word tzadik. Who is the tzadik? The tzadikoy shel oilam. refers to Hashem. In this pasuk, the word Rasha refers to the Satan. The Rasha wants to destroy the tzaddik. And every single day, the Rasha gets more and more power. Vilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'ozer loy, eino yachlo, be unable to overcome. Shnemar Hashem lo yazenu biyadav lo yarshienu bishafta. Now, what do you take out of this Maim Chazal? I think there's one incredible chiddush. The word soifeh, this is a very important Chazal, especially when you learn Nevi'im, Sifrei Nevi'im, because Rav Chochol will tell you, Rav Chochol always likes to know that the 10 different expressions for prophecy. There is a Navi, a Tsoife, a Roye, a Chazoin, okay, Chazoin Yishayo Ben Amoitz, and there is Ani HaRoye, okay, the Roye is the seer, and there is the Choyze, there a Chazoin, a Roye, a Navi, Niv Sefosayim, okay, there's a popular medrash that tells us there are 10 expressions for prophecy. And each expression has its own...
I don't think you mean titles. I think you mean...
expressions.
Forms.
Forms. There are 10 forms of prophecy. And each one of these types of prophecies has a unique expression. And one of them is a tsoife. Okay, there's the word tsoife. How do you distinguish one expression from another? So obviously you have to look in the Mefarshim and they will explain. This Maim Chazal, if I'm not mistaken, seems to indicate the word Soife is a prophecy that gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Because the Chazal used this in reference to Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Yitzroy shel Adam miskaber Allah b'chol yoyim. It gets worse and worse. The Yetzer Hara grows. It grows stronger and stronger and stronger. How do you know that? Umavakish Lamisai. Shenemar. Oh, we have a pasuk. Tsoife Rosh Olat Tzadik. Doesn't this indicate that the word tsoife? It's upon us to figure out the difference between the word tsoife, roye'eh, me'orev. There are many different words that are used in Tanakh to describe when anyone, whether he's evil or righteous, is looking and gazing and waiting, being mitzape. Yaakov Avinu, the Aviv Shomar Es Hadovar. It's Mamtin. It doesn't say exactly. It says he was Mamtin. He was, I don't remember the exact words. I don't think it says there in the Rashi Tzoyfeh. Shomer, he was anticipating. When will this dream come true? You have the word, a person is animan ve'avisha yisman im kos achakeloi. This is a word achakeloi, to wait.
Kave. Actually, I was thinking of
sofer v'yodea sisorenu. So what does that mean? So what does it mean exactly in that context? Hashem is sofer. Hashem is looking. Okay, so that's what I always thought it meant. Just as the big picture, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he looks and it's a constant. It's a sustained, constant observation. If you read the words over here in Chazal, it says here the Yetzer Hara is misgaber b'chol yoyim. Every day the Yetzer Hara has more and more power. It grows. And where do you see that in the pasuk? When Chazal make a drasha, they say words, they're reading something into the pasuk that's not so obvious. And you have the right to analyze. It would appear that from this pasuk, that Chazal are telling us an incredible chiddush that's not obvious, that the word soifeh means a gaze that intensifies with time. Right now I'm looking, but the more I look, the more intense my vision becomes. Many people, you watch something, you get bored. You look at some scenery, you go look at a painting, you look at it. All right, what else you got here? Let's move on.
That's more of Pistakel than
Sofer. No, not necessarily, but that's not what it's saying over here. The fact that Chazal are quoting...
have more than one meaning.
Absolutely. But the fact that Chazal are emphasizing that it's Miskaber lo b'chol yoyim, and it quotes the pasuk of Tzoyfer, you look at a painting, and you're intrigued. So what do? You look again, and you look again. And the intensity grows with every moment. When you learn Torah, Bereshis Bara Elokim. Okay, so you read what it says in the Pasuk. Then when you get a little bit older, you look at it again. And there is an intensity, there is a growth in your gaze, in your view of what you're looking at. Isn't that what it says over here? It creates a whole new translation of the word Sofer. Yeah, and this would,
I think something that the is observing the behavior of the tzaddik.
Yeah.
Looking for a mistake. A mistake. He will do something wrong and then I'll get it.
Okay, but what does Chazal mean? It says here, the Yitzhak Yishaladam Miskaber Allah Bechol Yoim. Where does it say that in this pasuk? Shenemar, Tzoyfeh Roshol Latzadik. All it says here is that he's waiting, like you say, he's waiting to find the chapim, waiting to catch him on something. Where does it say that it's miskaber bechol yoim? It has to be that Chazal see in the word soifer. There are many words in Tanakh that mean to look, to gaze, to observe. And the fact there are so many different words, it must be that each word has a different nuance, a different connotation. And Chazal seemingly learned the word soifer is not a sustained gaze. It's a view which grows with intensity.
You know, there's a principle that the bigger the man, the bigger the Yetzer
Hara. Correct.
So, if a person
grows in Ruchnias,
there's a
the Yetzer Hara, right, reaction. The Yetzer Hara grows with the person. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara grows and the person doesn't grow. Then he's in a lot of trouble. then he's helpless.
It's a
very frightening concept. Is that as the person grows in Ruchnis, so does the Yetzer Hara. It grows with the person. I remember. I think it was Rav Steinman. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Rav Steinman. And someone like so, he said that he was zeicher to arichas yomim, but it comes with a price. Like you have arichas yomim. So let's say 80 years old. Person like he's personal. Person says, you know, many of my chaverim are 80 years old. That's it, they slow down. And I'm 100 years old, I'm still going strong. Hashem gave me 20 years. So it gave me 20 years of opportunity to learn, to daven, to do chesed, to do all these things. But you know something? There's no free lunch. I'm gonna be judged for another 20 years. The din v'cheshbon of my averos, what, 20 years I didn't do averos? In the last 20, Hashem gave me another 20 years. Very good. 20 more years to go do more mitzvahs. Oh, you think just because you're 80 years old, you don't have a Yetzer Hara? Different type of Yetzer Hara. Chazal say different. Chazal say it's a different type of Yetzer. You get old, it's COVID. There are different types of situations, different types of Hashem, there's no free lunch. Hashem puts a person in this world, gives you an opportunity. With the opportunity comes a tag, a price tag. And the price tag is, you are going to have nisyonos during this period of time. And you're going to be judged for the nisyonos. So it's the muna. Rachmana, let's say a person, you know, is in a very, very high level of emuna. And then when he's young, middle age, and then at the end of his life, he slacks off, he lightens up. And when he leaves this world, on his deathbed, he has sveikus. That's not a good thing. Chazal talk about the critical moment when a person leaves this world, that moment is so critical, a person at the end of his life can have a very, very big nisyonis in emuna. It's a very big thing. The Chazal over here, it's a very frightening Chazal that the Yetzer Hara does not let up. Not only does the Yetzer Hara not let up, the Yetzer Hara is miskaber olav bechol yoim.
It's not from the word sofeh. It's sofeh umevakesh lahamito. So umevakesh lahamito, so he's trying to do something.
He thinks the combination. The combination of the two words together. Umevakesh. Okay, but we have to, it is a shocking Chazal.
That's why
you always got to prove it.
I'll get it.
Okay, but you see, today, when someone makes a statement today, you got to prove it. You just can't shoot from the hip. You make an accusation, you say something, What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you getting this nonsense? It's a conspiracy theory. You make a statement, prove it. Prove it. Chazal are held to that requirement. They say the Yetzer Hara grows b'chol yoyim. Really? Who says? Prove it. They quote a pasuk. Where do you see that in the pasuk? It says that the Yetzer Hara is tsoife. He's looking and he's mevakish. Okay, he served Mavakish when he's 13 years old, and he served Mavakish when he's 90 years old. Where does it say that every single day the Yetzer Hara gets smarter, gets more powerful, has more chokhmah? Where does it say that? Obviously, there's something about the vocabulary we do not know. And the first suspect in trying to decipher where Chazal got that from is by taking note that the word soifer is one of many, a long list of words that we have in Tanakh, a long list of synonyms for looking. There's ri'ia, there is shayish shemira, there is habata, there is sistaklus. There are many different words. What separates the word soifer? I don't know if I'm saying it's correct, but it's a suspect. It's a suspect to understand. Rav Kalman is saying it's more of a combination, I think you're trying to say. It's mevakesh. But mevakesh, people mevakesh their whole life. People try to make money their whole life. People are roid if have to cover their whole life. Who says that it intensifies? So this combination of tsoifeh and mevakesh is an indication that there's growth. It's a hard chazal. Okay, let's go further. Next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Look out now in Tsoifeh.
And you know where it's obviously named for Har HaTzofim.
Har HaTzofim. Excellent. It's true. Okay. Pasik Lamid Gimel Hashem lo yazven lo b'dashem not abandon him. Amar Rabbi Huna Maidach Sev Lama Sabet Boigdim. Why, Hashem, do you look upon treacherous people? Tacharish. Why, Hashem? You have to repeat the word Lama. Why are you silent? Why do you just look at them and do nothing? Why are you silent when you witness Bivalar Rasha, Tzadik Mimenu, when a Rasha swallows up an individual who is more righteous than him? Vechi Rasha Bolei Tzadik? Can it really be that Kadosh Baruch Hu allows a Rasha to swallow a Tzadik? But the Pasuk says, V'yoksiv, Hashem lo yazvenu v'yadai, Uksiv, and it says, Lo yu'une la Tzadik kol oven, it will never happen, anything wrong, anything bad to a Tzadik. The Gemara says, the famous Chazal, we've once spent a lot of time on this at some point, Tzadik mimenu boileya, tzadik gomur einoi boileya. There are two different types of tzadikim. There's a tzadik who's just a tzadik relative to a rasha. And then there is a tzadik gomur, a mamish. Like what do you mean a tzadik? This mafioso, he murdered 1,000 people. This one only murdered 500. He's a tzadik. He's a tzadik. He only murdered and tortured 500 people, right? So he's a tzaddik, because the other one murdered 1,000 people, okay? But he's not a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik relative to a greater Russia. And then there's the tzaddik gomor. He never touched a fly. He never hurt anyone. So therefore, this chazal is telling us that this pasuk lamed beis and pasuk lamed gimel, we are discussing a tzaddik gomor, a person who never in his life did an Avera. There are only four people, I think, who ever did an Avera. The four people. Who were the four people that did an Avera? Binyamin?
Yes.
Yishai?
Yes.
Amram?
That's right.
Okay, and there's three and?
And what?
Kalev and David.
Kalev and David, David's son. David had a son who was in Kailul. He was in Kailul his whole life. Kalev and David. Four people, they dubbed Be'ityo Shal Nachash. Okay, there are only four tzaddikim gemurim. So is this pasuk referring only to them? All right, whatever it means. Serach Bas Asher doesn't say that by Serach Bas Asher. She lived very long. Serach Bas Asher, she lived very long. She had a bracha of Arich Hashem because she delicately, she revealed to Yaakov that Yosef owed Yosef Chai in a way that would not shock him. Yaakov was very delicate at that point of his life, and he had to be told in a very delicate way. In any event, we have over here, Chazal are telling us that this pasuk on base pasuk Lamed Gimel, we're dealing with tzaddik gomor. So we look tzoifer rasha la tzaddik. So that creates a whole new impression upon the pasuk. That the rasha, who does the rasha really out to get? the tzaddik gomor. A tzaddik is only a tzaddik relative to a rasha. Small potatoes. The tzaddik rasha la tzaddik mevakesh la mitzvah. Like Hashem lo yazenu v'le Hashem not abandon him. Biyodav lo yarshenu b'mitzvah. That's where the rasha really will. The satan, the rasha really. That's the prize. I told you the story many times, and it's very, very true. I told someone that I know. I'm not going to go tell you. I probably told you all the names anyway. But years ago, in RJJ, I surely told you already spilled beans. In RJJ, my mother told me that when they went there to daven, Rosh Hashanah, you know, the people daven there in RJJ. I was never there. I was told many people there that daven on the Yom Ha'Noraim were survivors. Survivors of the Holocaust. Almost everyone there lost family in the Holocaust. They came to America. They were destitute. They had very, very big nisyonos. And yet, they were maminim, bnei maminim. They persevered. They built families. There were a lot of holy people. And when came Rosh Hashanah, they had a beautiful davening, a very powerful davening. It wasn't such a big crowd. You know, it wasn't such a big crowd. And came time to blow shofar, and they had plenty of shofaris those days. No different than it is today. And they're very talented and know how to blow shofar. And it came time to blow shofar, and the Baal Torteah made the bracha and could not get a tekiah out of the shofar. And they struggled, and they took another shofar, and it got so bad that they literally passed the shofar around the yeshiva. They passed the shofar around from person. Maybe someone here can get a sound out of the shofar. Could you imagine, Shirley? This is a fact. That's okay. And this, you know, and then no different years, whatever, different kufis. Then Vahi Ayoim come to Flatbush, came somewhere else. Came to a davening, and it comes time to blow shofar, and the Baal Tokeah, he blows, perfect, batting 1,000, not 500, perfect. No, American, no, different shofar, an American, whatever. You know, perfect, not a pause, not an issue, perfect. How you talking? Are you talking only 30 years ago? 30 years ago, whatever it was, like from compared to this story already is already 30 years old, so like they can go back. In RJJ, probably in the 60s, they couldn't get a tequila. And now you get to the 80s, the 90s. What happened? Well, the shofars are better. The people are better. So the person said, it's very pashut. Very, very pashut. In RJJ, the people that watch this. In RJJ, the people that were blowing shofar, they were very holy people. The satan came. The satan came to shul.
He liked RJJ.
They came. The satan came. He also wanted to die. The satan. Here, the satan tachi walked in from Pesukei the Zimra, and the satan says, here. It's not kedai. These people, not kedai. Not worth it. It's not even kedai for the satan to come. You have to be a Baal Madrega. You have to be a Baal Madrega that you're worthy that the satan should come.
The satan likes a challenge.
That's a challenge, exactly. Here, you guys, you're not worthy. You guys are not worthy that I should even come. There's a lot of truth to this. It's as mamish in this pasuk. Because after this, Maimon Chazal says, it says here that Hashem lo yarsh, that Hashem will not abandon the tzaddik. What are you talking about? It's the Beferish pasuk. It says in the pasuk that Hashem is sabit and he sees sachadish when he witnesses the rasha swallow a tzaddik. The tzaddikim, they go like flies, like nothing. Oh, but it says here that it says over here that the tzaddik Hashem does not abandon the tzaddik biyado. Oh, the Gemara says there are different types of tzaddikim. Okay, v'amech kulam tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik that's relative to someone else, And then there's the tzaddik gamur. This pasuk is a tzaddik gamur. Ah, the tzaddik gamur. That's a challenge. The tsoifeh rosho la tzaddik. That's where the rosho, the satan, goes to daven. The satan goes to daven in that place and does not. There's a story that I was going to bring for the Shteshir with the Maril. The Maril is the father of all Minhage Yisrael. Kemat, every single minhag in Klal Yisrael is cited by the Maril. The Maril didn't make the minhagim, he recorded the minhagim. And if you want to know if a minhag is authentic, you search in the writings of the Maril, and that's the first place to look, to determine the authenticity of Minhage Yisrael. And with the Maril, there's a story, it's a famous story, and there was a new sefer that was published, a manuscript that was found, and there the story really was a legend, it seems, but they actually found the manuscript with the Maril where the story is recorded in more detail. And the story is that in the minyan of the Maril, there were three, where did the Maril live? I don't know. Maybe I'll find the one later. Where did the Maril live? Germany?
In Czechoslovakia.
Where is that, in Germany?
Czechoslovakia?
Hungary? No, it was too early. There were Jews living there then? I don't know. 1,000 years ago? I don't know. Probably either Germany or France. I don't know.
It was under Germany.
Germany.
But the section was...
Okay, so in the Maril's Kihila, there were three expert Balei Tokea. There were three mumchim. Came Rosh Hashanah, and they made the bracha. It's a controversial story. They made the bracha, and they made the Shachiyanu, and the first Baal Tokea put the shofar, could not get out the first tekiah. The mumche, could not get out the tekiah. Try, didn't go. So they gave it, they called up the second ex-mumche. He could not get out even one tekiah. They called up the third, could not get out of the tekiah. So here's the controversy. The Maril, who was davening, again, they made the bracha, and now there's a shaila of how did he communicate with the people. Hefsek.
Anu.
Nu. And he told them, take the shofar, turn it upside down, into the large areas, the big part of the shofar, and say into the shofar, Vihi noyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, Umase Yodeinu Konno Aleinu, Umase Yodeinu Konenehu. Say that into the shofar. He said it, doesn't say which one, two, or three. And then they turned it upside back correctly, and it worked. So the whole discussion is, how are you allowed to say Vihi Noyam? The stories record this took place before they blew the first sound. So l'chor, it's a hefsek. It's a hefsek between the bracha and the first. So that's the end. The end is it's l'tzorech, but l'tzorech, do you say l'tzorech hatakia when it comes to Kabbalistic things? Are you allowed to write a kameh on Shabbos? We know that pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos. It's doicha Shabbos to take medicine, to do something that's b'teva, take medication, to do surgery. But to do something spiritual, to write an amulet, to write a Kabbalistic...
Can you take a COVID vaccine if it's not a...
If it's bikuach nefesh. If it's bikuach nefesh, why not? If
you don't know
how
it works.
What? So you have to... If the doctors say that it works and it's necessary, so l'chayra, that's enough. If you're a maimon, if you're a believer, if you have trust this is what Rav Herschel Shachter, my boss of Adam, Rav Herschel Shachter, when the vaccines first came out, he said it's the minag Yisrael to have faith in the chachmei umay so'olam with regard to all matters of refuah. This is the Messiah, okay? That he said that how many years ago? 2 years ago, when it first came out. A lot of people since then have challenged that premise. That was a very basic yisoid. It's a very basic. All the Gedolei Yisrael, they all worked on that principle. That ein umon mora nafshe. An umon does not damage his own reputation. There are people, they spend their whole lives on this. This is what they do, and they produce. So you have the al pi halacha. You are obligated. This sakana. Let's not go off on that topic. But in any event, so are you allowed to go write a kameya, an amulet, supernatural? Here, speaking into the shofar after you make a bracha, this is not something that is a Kabbalistic type of thing. Are you allowed to do that before you blow the first sound? When you make a bracha, and to eat a piece of food, so you have to first taste the food before you can speak. Okay, in any event, I want to illustrate this story with this pasuk over here, that after we have this Maamar Chazal that tells us that this pasuk, we're dealing here with a tzaddik gomur, and the pasuk says Sofer Rosho La Tzaddik. It tells you that the prime target of the Yetzirah is a tzaddik gomur. In other words, the Sofer connotes an intensity. There's an intensity. A person that's not a tzaddik gomur, I'm not in the Satan. He does not have such an intense Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is not on his case to the same degree as it is on the case of the Tzadik Gomor. And that's an important point because of this Maamar Chazal. Let's take a look over here.
Another pasuk before, very similar. Zomem Rasha LaTzadik,
Zoyming, plans. Hashem will not abandon him. Oh. So what's the difference? So what's talking the difference? Yeah, that's an important point. What's talking the difference? Why over there do we have one or the other? It's a very good point. Let's look a little bit of the Farshman, which is a drop. We'll just jump around a little bit. Let's look over here, Pasuk, and look at the Radak. The Radak on page 339, Ki Hashem oiv mishpat, and there mishpat hu ma'aseh ha-yosher. What is mishpat? Mishpat, now it appears, Rav Kalman, we spoke about this yesterday, about who is the subject of mishpat. So Rashi in the Mitzuda says that Hashem, the Oiv Mishpat, is Hashem enjoys rewarding and punishment. It appears that the Radak disagrees. The Radak says, Ki Hashem Oiv Mishpat, v'amishpat hu ma'aseh ha-yosher, u'ma she'yaseh devada b'mishpat, lo yazvenu Hashem. Kiloimar, lo yisalek shmirasa memenu, elo dovka bo shmirasa tamid. It appears that the Radak disagrees with Rashi, and there is no Rashi, it's really the Mitzudos. And he holds that the one that is doing the subject of Mishpat is man. And if man is an honest, good person that does what is correct and just, Hashem loves him. According to the Mitzudos, the pasuk means Hashem enjoys bringing reward and punishment. The Mishpat here is executed by Hashem. And Hashem has an ahava to bring justice to this world. A person did an act of kindness. Oh, I enjoy rewarding that person. A person did an avera. Hashem enjoys giving that person what he deserves. That's where the mitzvah is done. Learn Shah in this pasuk. That's not what the Radak says. The Radak says that the subject of mishpat is a person. There are people out there that are good people. They're honest. They're sincere, and they do the right thing. Hashem says, oh, that person, I love him. It doesn't say that Hashem is now going to reward him. It says here, in the meantime, I'm not going to abandon you. V'lo yazav chasidav.
Because reward is really for the hereafter.
Correct. The reward is not immediate. So the Meradak is an entirely different approach to this pasuk. The Amishbat who Amasa Yosher, one more time, Tal Beishu, Masha Yaseh, Shiaseh, Dvad Mishbat. This that a man does his deeds with Mishbat. Lo Yazvenu Hashem, Hashem will not abandon him. Lo Yazvenu Hashem, Hashem will not abandon him. Kaloimar lo yisalek shmirasim enu Hashem will not ban him his guardianship of him. Ela dafko ela deveka ba shmirasim tamid. V'loichein zera shoam ki hu nichras bevo yomo. He's going to be cut off. V'amar zera ki bikarsam yikarei zadam imachem. When a rush is cut off, all of their prodigy is cut off. They're all the way down to the end, they're cut off. V'yamar chasidav achash amar mishpat. V'hachesed agadol shemei mishpat. Chesed is greater than mishpat. Ki hu inyan lefnim mishur sadin. Lo lefik sheyargil odem atzim b'masa yoshev v'mishpat. Lo yite mikav ha-emes al kolpanim yovei limidas ha-chasidos shi gemil satova af mishloi nischayev lo. Okay, just explain, jump around a little bit. Okay, let's jump down to the bottom, Lamed Beis, in the Radak. Tsoifer Rosha, im yire ha-Rosha tzadik matzliyachu mikaneboy. Okay, possibly like in the Radak, this is a very important Radak. The Radak is over here, he's talking like a psychologist. And he's telling us what goes through the mind, maybe he's trying to explain one of the dimensions of anti-Semitism. Why do the Goyim hate us? This is an old topic. So there's no one answer. There are many, many dimensions. There are many different types of anti-Semitism. You have to first know who hates us. Is it a member of B'nai Yishmael? Is it a member of B'nai Esav? Is it in none of the above? What is it all about? So here he says something very important. Sofer Rosha, im yire ha-Rosha ha-Tzadik matzliach, hu mekanei bo. Okay, these words are explosive words. I mean, it's simple. It's simple, but you know, not everyone goes down this path. Jealousy.
Yeah. And it also implies within.
What do you mean within?
I mean, for example,
Jews among themselves.
Being able to accomplish the same thing.
See, that's a very important. There's self-hating Jews. The hate of a Jew, unfortunately, is even greater than what the Goyim hate us sometimes. Now, why we see when you study Esav? Okay, Esav, you know, Esav, he sold the Bechira, he lost the Brachas, and you know, there's a whole ongoing thing with Esav. Yishmael, you know, Sarah said Goresh as Ben Homo Hazais, Ki Lo Yirash in Bnei Yitzchak. But Jews, the law of return allows a secular Jew to go to Eretz Yisrael the same way it allows a religious Jew to go to Eretz Yisrael. So what's the hatred all about? We're Jews. It's different. When a Jew has a hatred for another Jew ideologically, not because, you know, of some type of...
For example, there was a well-known Jewish billionaire took it upon himself to write an op-ed in the New York Times, or was in the Post, trashing yeshivas.
So what's that all about?
Very good question.
What's it all about? So the Radak throws out something which... It's not a chiddush, but you know, he goes on record. It's jealousy. This is psychology. This is a study in psychology. Jealousy. I have a Yetzirah, you have a Yetzirah. You overcame your Yetzirah and I failed. I'm jealous. Is it guilt? It doesn't say guilt. Jealousy. Okay, im yire harosh at sadik matzlechu mikanei boy, v'hu nofal me'atzmoy. The noisin einof, he falls on his own. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. The noisin einof im yavoy shum davar biyadei lahaliloi. You're just looking now to take him down. Lifnei moishel sheyimisenu, and you're looking to basically to kill him, to slander him to the government. Lifish shemekane boy biroisoi ki hu bitoiv v'hu bara. Okay, this is an explosive. Radak, two-liner, middle of Tehillim, who would even know where he comes in one line and he explains it's not a chiddush, but people say, okay, you say this, I say that. The Radak, he says it very clearly, it's all about jealousy. Alright, let's look at the Malbim just a little bit. The Malbim, the first Malbim over here, Chav Ches and Chav Tes on the bottom. The Malbim says over here in 339, Ki Hashem oyev mishpat, ki achash Hashem hashkiach ba'olam, bevadai yaseh mishpat. the Malbim is taking the approach of the Mitzudais, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is exercising Mishpat. Not like Radak, that it is man that exercises Mishpat, it's Hashem. Umizeh mevor shelo ya'azoiv es chasidav sheze neger ha-mishpat v'yat tzedek. Abavadai li'olam nishmaru ki min ha'ashkocha v'yemkein yechuyav me ha-mishpat ho eloiki u'shmirasoi es chasidav. It is Hashem's duty shezera rishoim nichras v'tzadikim yesho'aret shehem yiyu l'b'sofa yoshem es ha-zera rishoim ha-nichrasim v'hem yishkinu al-oretz la'at. V'im kein hatzlochas harosh of Yosho hu sheyachin. Now this is explosive stuff. Sheyachin oisho nuchasim el hatzadikim yershav. V'heim yitzluchu levasef hatzlochot yisho'er b'yodim lenetzach. He says over here an incredible pshat in the pasuk, and that is, all of the success of the rasha is just hachana for the tzaddik. When you see the rasha being extremely successful. This is a very troubling hashkafic principle. Okay, this is something which a lot of people will get very, very disturbed when you think about what he just said. Is that you look out in the world and you see wicked, wicked people, really wicked people, and you see how successful they are, and they amass an empire, enormous wealth, and they become extremely successful, and you say, how Hashem? Do you let this? How do you allow this? How do you allow these wicked people to be so successful? No, the answer is, they're working for you. All of their wealth and their accomplishments are going to be delivered on a silver platter to the tzaddikim. Right now, what are the tzaddikim doing? Do the tzaddikim really want to trade places with them? It's dirty business. The tzaddikim, at this moment, they're now being busy with being Isaac in Torah and Mitzvahs. The tzaddikim right now don't have time to run major businesses and deal with a lot of strange people out there in the world and negotiate, come up with ideas, and to learn how to program, to learn technology, to learn how to earn wealth. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of serious sacrifice is involved in being successful. Tzaddikim, they're busy. They're busy raising families, they're busy learning, they're busy davening, they're busy... Oh, Mordechai, good morning, Shalom Aleichem. Good to see you. Baruchim Habo. Tzaddikim are very busy. They're busy involved in matters of ruchnis. They don't have time to build electric cars. Okay, they don't have time to be CEOs of companies and accumulate enormous wealth. Who does these things? So Hashem says, you know what, these wicked people, you don't let them do it. Abba, they're reshoim, and we're very disturbed. How does Hashem allow these wicked people to be so successful? The Malbim says, they're not working for themselves, these wicked people. They're working for you. Because when the day is over, they will be eliminated. And all of their success, their accomplishments, their wealth, and their inventions are going to be handed over on a silver platter to the tzaddikim la'asalava. So when you see the wicked people are, you know, they just their earnings this year are, you know, in the trillions. It's your money. That's the money of the tzaddikim. That's a very shocking thing. This is not the hashkafa. This is not something that they teach you in elementary school. Is you don't want to look at it like that. But that's I want to read these words one more time because this idea is a very novel idea. Look at Ki Hashem Oyev. Read one more time this psalm. Hashem is Oyev Mishpat. Ki Acha Shehashem Mashkiach Boilam. He is watching. He's watching, he's keeping record of every single avla, every single crime that happens in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it on his records. Hashem will never abandon his pious ones. Hashem will exercise mishpat to the people that have been victims. Sheze neged hamishpat. That's it, because what the criminals have done in this world is the opposite of mishpat and tzedek. Ubevadai lo'olam nishmaru min ha'hashkocha. It's min hashkocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guard them. V'imkein yichuyav me'hamishpat ho eloki. The divine mishpat demands. Ushmirasai escha sidav. And the fact that Hashem guards his pious ones, what will the result be at the end of days? And this now, what he writes, is an incredible chiddush. Don't take this lightly. The result is shezera rishom nichros, is adding words into the pasuk. This is not just like when we read the pasuk in the beginning, we just said, oh, you know, we're just vacillating. They are the tzaddikim and they are the rishoyim. Tzaddikim, rishoyim. It's like a game, a chess game. Okay, your turn, my turn. Okay, we're going back and forth. No. There is a synthesis. There is a relationship. And what is the relationship? It's shezera risham nichros v'tzadikim yirshu eretz. The word yirshu is going back on the rishoyim. Until now, we always said that the tzaddik, the word yirshu, was just a poetic word. It's a poetry that the tzaddikim are going to live forever. The wicked are going to be cut off, and the tzaddikim will endure. Why then does it say the word yirshu, to inherit? What are they inheriting? Lav dafka, there's no inheritance here. The word yirshu just is a poetic expression, which means that the tzaddikim will endure. They will survive. They will live. They will live on this world. It's an expression. That's how we learned until, that's what all the Farshim learned. They are Rishoyim, they're going to be cut off. And the Tzaddikim, Hayaluchud v'Hayaluchud. They are wicked people who live in one part of the world, and the Tzaddikim live in another part of the world, and the Tzaddikim do their thing, and the Rishoyim do their thing. Hashem wipes out the Rishoyim, and the Tzaddikim endure. Their Malbim says that's not the Pshat. When it says the word Yirshu, Yirshu is said with precision. It means to inherit. Who are the Tzaddikim inheriting? They are inheriting the wicked. What do you mean? Well, the wicked are alive. They're not giving up anything. No, they're going to die. And when they die, there is an estate. And the estate goes to the closest relative. But there are no closest relatives because their closest relatives are also dead. So it goes to the court. And the court says, so give it to the Jews. Okay, this is an incredible chiddush. How are we learning the pasuk? Shezera sham nichras. It's not just the Russia will die. There'll be no one for the Russia to bequeath his Yerusha to. So who then will it go to? Oh, the tzaddikim are going to inherit their assets. Sheheim yiyu libisoif hayorshim shel zera rishoyim hanichrasim, because they're gone. Veheim yishkenu al aretz lo'ad, and the tzaddikim, they're going to live forever because they have the zera. V'yim kein, what is the result? Ken, shocking. When you see the tzaddikim being matzliach, yeah, that's all coming to the. When you see the rishoyim being matzliach, they're just working. They're nobody. They're just all that success. Cheer for them. Cheer. They should get very wealthy and successful. Build beautiful homes, beautiful palaces, because all of that is going right into the bank account of the tzaddikim. Losolavoi, v'yim kein ha'hatzlocha harasha v'ashroi, who is all part of the process of Sheyochin, he's preparing Oysher, Unichosim, El Hatzadikim Yarshav. I mean, if this is not unbelievable, then what is? Okay, this is not the way we think about it. I'm a very narrow person. Mind your own business. You see successful people, Sanogami. Don't confuse me. Don't distract me. It's not my world. It's not my world. I had a guy come to the house, do some work, and he told me I needed a certain type of person to do something. And I thought, I want someone very good. Don't give me a handyman. I want a real professional. Real professional, because this is serious stuff. This has to be done the right way. So he says, I got the right guy for you. And he tells him that this guy, he did this type of thing for this multi-millionaire on this big fancy house. And then he just went into this like he's drunk. He tells me this, how rich he is and all of his assets. I don't care. I don't care. Don't tell me about this gevir. Is he a professional? Is he licensed? Is he good? Yes. Okay, he's good. Good. Let's use him. But you live in a very narrow world. Hayah luchud v'hayah luchud. You look at the wicked people in this world, they accumulate enormous, enormous wealth. You know, don't leave me alone. The Malbim is saying, no, root for these people. Not for illegal activity, but for their success, because all of their success ultimately is just transferred to the tzaddikim las lavay, el tzaddikim b'yarsha, v'hem yitzlichu l'besayfa hatzlacha tishoer b'yadim l'netzach b'yarsha ma'da tzaddikim. I just thought that was really amazing. Hey, let's look. What?
Exactly. A mushroom of what you're saying. I'm telling you this is correct. Henry Ford, he was one that invented the clock. He was very, very highly anti-Semitic.
Correct.
But look at the bracha that he gave.
Exactly. Exactly. He didn't earn his money legally. You have to be very careful. When you talk about Rishoyim, there are wicked people who earn their money illegally. Not talking about that. Henry Ford is a great example. Henry Ford created a product. I'm not aware that he earned his fortune illegally. He was creative. He was brilliant. Mayor Abel was telling me yesterday about the factories they built in Detroit. It's like incredible, incredible technology, beyond belief what he did. He was a horrific anti-Semite, but his wealth was yosha. I'm not aware that he stole any money. Okay, he earned the money legally. So you go look at this person who was a Sinei Yisrael, and you look how he has amassed enormous, enormous wealth. So I personally live in a very narrow world. I would say, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, all of his money and his wealth should go down the drain. Good riddance, get lost. I don't want to know from you. I don't want to know from you. So the Malam is saying, you got the wrong attitude. You got the wrong attitude. He's a Rasha. He'll get Hashem will give him what he deserves for his wickedness, but his money, did he earn? Is it honest money? L'chari, yeah. So you should root for him, root that he should build better cars and better cars, and the whole world should come, and he should accumulate incredible wealth. Because you know where all that money is going? It's going to the tzaddikim. It's going because he, because of his riches, is going to be nichras. The Zera Nichras, so of no Yarshim, where will all of that wealth and creativity and success go? It will go to the Tzaddikim, Los Lavoi. It's a different type of attitude. Yeah?
But Los Lavoi, physical assets would be superfluous.
So, not necessarily. The Rambam says the only difference between Moshe Mashiach and Zman Azeh is Shibud Malchias. The Rambam says, Oilam Kimin Haga. We don't really know. Okay, but it does seem there is a certain, I think, consensus that there is some type of trend. And I say loss of level, I don't mean a world of kulurukhli, of neshamas. There is obviously a future in this world, in Olam Hazen, this physical world of where it will be utilized to serve Hashem. And during that time, who's going to pay the bills? There's going to be a need to have gashmias, to use the gashmias to serve Hashem. Where is that going to come from? The tzaddikim? Okay, there are many from religious Jews that are very generous and very creative and have invented a lot of things. But this Malbim is saying a pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk, the key word is the word Yerusha, and the juxtaposition between the Rosh and the tzaddik. The Malbim says means it's that the tzaddikim are going to inherit the wicked. The wicked are not going to have any descendants, and they are going to have enormous wealth, and that enormous wealth, which today is a source of bewilderment. How, Hashem, do you allow the wicked to prosper? And the Malbim is telling you a chiddush, is that they're just working for you. They're not prospering. They're not going anywhere. They're not giving it over. They're basically they're working for the tzaddikim. You don't see it, but over a period of time, that's really where it's all going to end up going. Okay, how many times do you see like these magnificent churches and shuls? become used by
abandoned,
and they're taken over by yeshivas. And like when they built these things, the people who built these things never in their wildest dreamed imagine that these facilities would be one day turned into yeshivas, would turn into all over the place, these magnificent things that were built. And the end is, who ends up using it? Tinoiko Shol Beis Rabban, children, right? No, look, I remember one year, you used to have on Tisha B'Av on Ocean Parkway in Ditmas. There is a magnificent shul. It's a magnificent shul. What is the Ocean Parkway Jewish Center. It was built lechatchila as a conservative shul. It was built lechatchila. And one year, Rabbi Fishel Schachter, he always gives the program that I attend on Tisha B'Av, he always gives the last lecture, the last one, end of the day. So one year, he basically went through the history of the shul. The lecture, the program was held in that shul. That shul went to many Gilgulim in the last 20 years. It was a Russian, the conservative shul went out of business. And it was sold, and it was leased or given to a Russian. Or it was a Russian minion, and they also seemingly also closed up. I don't know. It went from place to place, and now it is owned. If I'm not mistaken, it's owned by a Hasidish yeshiva. It's called Mevakshe Hashem. Mevakshe by Phil Schaft.
The yeshiva of the moonies.
Sorry.
It's the
Mashiach
of the Moonies, Rabbi Wolfson's
Chavrut. Right, the Moonies, Emunas Yisrael. Rabbi Wolfson's Chavrut, it's called as his Talmidim, his Mespalim, it's called Mevakshei Hashem. So he gave a lecture, it was fascinating. He went through the history, the detailed history of the shul, of where the shul originally started. And then they moved to Borough Park here. And then this happened, that happened. He went through the whole history and how they built the shul. And now, what has become of the shul? You look on the benches, it's a magnificent shul, unbelievable. You look on the benches, you see the name tags, Mr. So-and-so, and then Mrs. So-and-so. They're still there on every and all the pews, all of the names of the people. Nick Seating, there's no mechitza there originally. And he went through, and who would imagine now, it's a Hasidish yeshiva. And he was basically like you're saying is like, you know, Jewish history. That you know, Hashem, people do things, you know, people make plans, and Hashem has his plans. Rabbis Machashavis Lavish Ratzas Hashem Hisakam. The people who built that conservative, magnificent synagogue, they never in their wildest dreams would imagine that it would that every single day, Tinoiko Shol Beis Rabban, pure children who know from nothing but Torah mitzvahs, occupy and daven in that shul every single day and learn there and daven there and run around there. 24/7. All over the world. All over the world. And he was like Mamish, he went through the whole thing, he made a very great shaman. It was very funny, the one thing they used to have flags. They still have flags. They have the American flag and they have the Israeli flag in this conservative, in the big, massive, two massive flags. So they know that's part of the shul. And isn't this a Hasidic yeshiva? You know, I know the Balabatim who run it. They love the shul. You know, they did a lot of construction. They put into the building who knows how much money, hundreds of thousands of dollars of upgrades. The shul itself, the sanctuary, they preserve mamish the way it is. They don't want to touch. They love it. They love it. And they have the flags. I thought, the flags? You know, an American flag. And these are Hasidim. Hasidim. The flag of the Medinas Yisrael? To me, I have no problem, right? But I was a little bit surprised. One year I come, and the flag's not there. The two flags are not there. The American flag is not there, and the Israeli flag is not there. So I said to the Baal HaBos, oh, I see, you're ready, you know. Says, no! Chas v'shalom. We sent it out for cleaning. It wasn't crisp. He's not joking. And the taka next week was back there. It was back. It has to be nice. We have the flags. It's a chassid. We have the flags. We have the Israel. And we're having the flags. It has to be clean, crisp, and nice. We sent it out to a professional to have it cleaned and restored. And sure enough, he was right. They were back. The flags were back in business. But yet, I mean, not yet, whatever, yeah. But Hashem, you plan. A person can have all the machshavas. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has his plan. Everyone has examples of this. You can look at the Bialystoker. The Bialystoker in the Lower East Side is a magnificent shul. It was built as a church. And if you study any church architecture, you will see it's so obvious. Okay, the way it was built lechatchila as a church, they never moved in. They never ever moved in. The church never moved in. Something happened. They put it up for sale. And the Bialystoker shul, they bought it. And they adapted it to make it into a shul. But if you know anything about architecture of how you build a church and how you build a shul, it's super duper obvious that the Bialystoker was never built as a Beis HaKnesses. It was built as a cathedral, as a mamish church. And okay, so it was not a usher because they never moved in, and they remodeled it to the best that they could to make it true. So here you have people spending millions of dollars, whatever the money was in that time, and architecture and planning and thinking, and who are they really building it for? For us, for Klal Yisrael. For Klal Yisrael. Okay, everyone has these simple dogmas. I'm not telling you any chidushim, but the chidush is that's how the Malbim learns the pshat in the pasuk. He learns the pshat in the pasuk of.
Like all the Kananim, built up Eretz Israel for the Klal Yisrael to move in.
The Kananim, exactly. Rashi is saying very good. Rashi says this. Rashi says that Hashem gave the Kananim the land to build it up, to build the infrastructure. So when Klal Yisrael comes, it's already developed. You have roads, you have bridges, you have water. It's all built up for you. Eretz Zavas Lodash is all built up for you.
You have the opposite also. You have to be honest. How many shuls were built up and
they destroyed. A guy takes a shul, anything a guy touches. Look at Gush Katif. All of the entrepreneurship, all of the creativity, and you give it to the hilarious there, and what do? Zero. You give it to a guy, or you go, mayor takes me there, we drive there to where the cemetery is. What's that neighborhood called? King's Highway, East New York, right? East New York. So one after another is to be a shul. You look at it now. What became of it? I give it to a guy. Look what a guy does to it. It's nothing. Nothing. It's a one-way street. It's only a one-way street. They build something nice. Ultimately, Klal Yisrael, they know how to take care of it. You have something that belongs to us. You give it to them. Finished. Over. They have no koyach. And the Malm learns the pshat in the pasuk. Ki Hashem oyev mishpat. V'lo yazev es chasidav. Kama. It does not le'olam nishma. They will be guarded forever. V'zera resham nichras. They'll be cut off, and when they're cut off, the Malm learns he leads pasuk chavches goes nechavtes, and when the zera resham is nichras, it's tzadikim yirshu oretz. The oretz of the reshaim that have been cut off. The Yishkenu, and they will possess it lo'ad oleha, upon their buildings, their accomplishments, their achievements, all of the foundation, their effort, what they have built will become the possession of the tzaddikim, which will be utilized to serve Hashem. Like you said, Henry Ford. So how many cars have been used for this? I remember a guy who went on a lease. And he told me, the lease is up, I'm bringing my car in. And he said to me, it's very sad for me today to give him the car. Very, very sad. I said, why are you saying getting a new car, getting a new lease? What are you so upset about? 3 years? Yeah, what do you say? He says, Do you know, he said to me, do you know how many mitzvahs we use this car for? Do you know how what this car we put this car through? The chesed that this car was involved in these last 3 years? It's kula chesed, kula Torah, kula chesed. It's a chesed mitzvah. It's mamish a chesed mitzvah, this car. The lease is up. We should put the car in Geniza, the Mishkan. Like the Mishkan, after 40 years in the Midbar, what do you do with the Mishkan? You go, you take the Mishkan, you just throw it in the garbage? What do you do with the Mishkan? Geniza. They put in Geniza, waiting for Mashiach to come. And then it will become a museum, will become a Beis Medrash. Do you know this car I'm bringing in today? Look at the car. You wouldn't know. Just an old car, like 3 years old. If you scratch it, see it, this there. You know how many times my wife took someone to the hospital and how we did delivered packages. And we took the kids to the yeshiva, to the Beis Medrash, and this, we did carpool. Do you know how much chesed? Geniza. And here I'm giving it to the dealer, and he's going to go and sell it to some who knows who, and he's going to sit in the car and do who knows what with the car? How you talking? That's what's going to happen to this car that was Isaac and Torah Mitzvahs?
No, that's not what's going to happen. What they're going to do is they're going to sell it at an auction, and the from you is going to get it.
Okay, maybe. But you know, he has a point.
A good price. I just got a car. My daughter in Lakewood, you know, one of these, you know. After the lease is up, they sell them.
They sell it. It goes on a computer. It goes on a whole country.
All the
dealers.
It goes online.
It goes online to the dealers. Anyone who wants can take it. Right. There's a whole system. Very complicated system. So that's what it says. It says that the Rishon, they're working. Ultimately, all of their success will be directed towards the tzaddikim in the right time to be utilized for avodas Hashem. Okay, we'll stop. We'll take a short break, and then we're going to learn today a little about shofar. I have a new sefer. It is gold. It is literally gold, and we're going to try to learn some of the chidushim that I will attempt to present after we come back from the break.
Shofar.
Teka b'shofar gadol.
Did you bring
your shofar in? I didn't bring in a shofar.
Mordechai, you got the...
Well, thank you. That's